When all is said and done, brothers and sisters, what will the time that we spend on earth bring forth? If it was for God's kingdom and his righteousness by faith, then there is eternal reward. If it's for stuff that doesn't matter, then there's loss.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, there's no doubt that Jacob was a scoundrel from the womb. His name means to supplant or take the place of, in this case, his brother Esau. Why then did Jacob take the place of Esau?
You know, Dave, simply because one loved God and the other didn't care. Now with this in mind, let's find out how this all comes together by turning in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, and we're looking at verses 27 through 34.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is reveals where your heart is at. Esau treasured, at this point, that day, food, more than the promises of the living God. It's a pretty drastic illustration. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Don't store it up here, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Don't store your stuff in a sinful world. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And notice what he says, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other, or think lightly of the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The reality is, Esau is exhibiting where his heart is at. He's exhibiting that. Go to Philippians chapter 3 before we go back to Genesis. When your appetites are merely on the physical of this world, that's all it's about. It is an evidence that something is wrong. Now, certainly we need to eat. Later on in Matthew, he's going to say, hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about it at all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added. Philippians 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul shares, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and tell you now, even weeping, that they are what? Enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies. Whose end is what? Destruction. That's not good. Whose God is their appetite. That's their desires, the physical. Whose glory is in their shame. And notice what he says. Who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Where's your heart at? Do the things of this earth occupy your heart? I'm not saying we don't think about what we're going to have for dinner. We don't think about where we have to drive to, what we have to do, those things. But do they occupy your heart? Do they suppress down the things of Christ? Jacob, the deceiver, most likely knows the Lord. He's wrongly trying to obtain that which God had declared would be his. He's trying to buy it for a meal. But God's working on him. In contrast, Esau, his twin brother, doesn't value it at all. As we're going to see in Hebrews, he is a godless, unsaved man. He is the paradigm of those who fall short of the grace of God, even in the midst of the congregation. So notice Jacob tries to seal the deal back in our passage. Verse 32, and Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die." That's not true. He's not about to die. So what use then is a birthright to me? It's all physical. And Jacob said, here you go, he's going to seal the deal. "First, swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank. Here we see Esau following through with his actions, selling his birthright for a single meal. And Jacob seals the deal. "Swear to me." And Esau swore to him, and he sold his birthright. And then Jacob gave him bread, lentil stew, and he ate and drank. This is telling of Esau's true relationship with the living God, which was not existent. Notice verse 34, what we see next. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank and rose and went on his way. That's a horrifying statement. Esau epitomizes, as we'll see, the godless man. He grew up in a Christian home, yet he did not value the spiritual things of Christ. So little to him were they that he sold his birthright for a single meal. Although he possibly named the name of the Lord, we see he sold that birthright, which was related to the promises, for a meal. Do you want to know if you might be falling short to the grace of God? If you've never truly came to faith in Jesus Christ, your life will be characterized by a continual focus on the present physical world, dismissing the realities or putting down the realities of Christ. You may go to church. You may be sitting there right now, but your thoughts are about you and your life. Oh, you may listen to sermons, but your thoughts are about you and your life. So little in his sight was the birthright. He sold it for a single meal. Now, it's interesting. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We have commentary from the New Testament concerning Esau. And within this commentary, it is one of a thread of warnings to those in the book of Hebrews. Those Hebrews who had named the name of Christ, they had tasted the good word, they had named his name, but yet they were ready to go back to something that could not save. They had not truly trusted in Christ, and they were about to apostatize and go back to Judaism. And so within the book of Hebrews, there are warnings, and there are also encouragements to true believers. And within this thread of warnings, we see that we are to watch out for threats to practical holiness. Chapter 12, just previously, was about God's discipline in our lives. He disciplines the ones he loves. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Notice what he says in verse 15 of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, and that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau." That's our guy, isn't it? "Who sold his own birthright for a single meal." That's our passage. "For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears." See to it that no one, you all, it says in the text, in the Greek, you all see to it, be looking carefully, that no one comes up short of the grace of God. What does he mean by that? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Coming short of the grace of God would be coming short of salvation. See to it that no one is late or misses it completely. That's what coming short means. To miss God's grace would be to miss salvation. We need to understand that not everyone who comes to church is saved. Just like those in the book of Hebrews, there were people convicted who named his name but were ready to turn away from that. One pastor shares concerning the fact that we should not only be seeing to it within ourselves, but within others. We should be concerned about those in the body, those who might be falling short of the grace of God. He says, we are tempted to hold back from witnessing to those who profess to be Christians, but who we believe are not. We are afraid of offending them. Yet how much greater offense is their eternal souls if we fail to present Christ? We are exhorted, commanded to make every effort to see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. I take that twofold, one within the body. Be aware of those coming short, and if they're not going to respond, we'll see in a minute, you've got to root them out. But also personally, see to it that you do not fall short of the grace of God. Notice what he says. There's three that statements. That, no root of bitterness springing up, middle of 15, causes trouble and many be defiled. Verse 16, that there be no immoral, godless person like Esau. And then we saw the first that back in falling short of the grace of God. He begins with no root of bitterness. And I think we're going to see that Esau is like that. That Esau exhibits later on bitterness. That he is an example of this. That no root of bitterness causing trouble. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. This describes this godless man Esau and those who have a root of bitterness. Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. The Israelites are being warned by Moses about the one whose heart apostatizes or turns away from the Lord. It's very serious. Deuteronomy 29:18, lest there should be some among you, a man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God, to go serve the gods of those nations, lest there should be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit or a wormwood. That's a root of bitterness. And it shall be when he hears these words of this curse that he will boast, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, in order to destroy the watered land with the dry. The Lord shall never be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man. And every curse written in this book will rest on him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. It's a serious thing to turn away from the only source of salvation. A lot of kids have heard the truth. You've grown up in a Christian home, but yet you are on the verge of falling short of the grace of God. You will be ultimately this root of bitterness if that's the case. If you turn away from the only salvation there is, there's no forgiveness apart from Christ. And notice he says that there's a result to this back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Obviously, in churches, those people that are apostatizing or on about to, they cause trouble. They cause trouble. The Esaus in churches cause trouble. He says, and by it many be defiled. Root it out. Expose it. They bear spiritual poison. Root it out. But maybe it's you personally, and the Lord is saying to you, see to it that you do not fall short of the grace of God. We are to root out those who bear the fruit of being wicked make-believers, who will not turn to Christ for salvation in the heart, but defile the congregation. Watch out, brother and sister. Deal with sin. We have ways to do that in the New Testament. Galatians 6, Matthew 18, Titus 3, Romans 16. You can look at those later. But notice now we have the illustration of Esau, and this is what I wanted to get to. Again, verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and that by it many be defiled. Verse 16, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. And the illustration is, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Seems like a small thing. It's not a small thing. It evidences that this man is a godless man. We've seen here, and we see here, that unfortunately Esau is the perfect illustration of apostasy, turning away from the genuine knowledge of Christ or understanding, seeking things for personal benefit. Esau was Isaac's firstborn, the heir to the promise. just like the account we just saw. But he sold his birthright for a single meal. And if you think it's not a big deal, it reveals the character of a man who would reject the promises of God to fulfill his temporal hunger. You know, it's interesting. We need to recognize this. If this life, the temporal things of this life, pull you away from Christ, his body, and his word on a continual basis, I would encourage you to examine where your heart's at. See to it that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau. You see, he's called immoral. We see later on that he, partially to upset his parents, took on Canaanite wives, two Hittite wives, and I think another Canaanite. He was not like his brother, who was sent to get a wife from Laban's household. He was a godless man. The godless think more of their needs and self than God. They're godless. Are you godless in your everyday thoughts? If you are, you're on the precipice of judgment. Notice verse 17, for you know that afterwards when he desired to inherit the blessing, you see there was the birthright, and with the birthright was the blessing that would be given. And that blessing would go to the firstborn. I think that Isaac is still favoring Esau, so he tries to give it to Esau, but yet Rebekah and Jacob trick him. Jacob's still doing his tricks, and it is given then to Jacob in accordance with God's sovereignty, even in spite of their sin. And he wanted the blessing. For you know, even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Why was he rejected? For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it, the blessing, with tears. You see, those who are like Esau have no room for repentance in their hearts. Yes, the situations that take away the things they would like cause pain and tears. But there's no room for repentance. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And then we'll go back to Genesis and finish up. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The Corinthian believers were addressed by Paul according to the word of God, and it caused sorrow. He says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorrowful. Hey, I don't want to see you get sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. That's a change of mind which results in a change of behavior. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you may not suffer loss in anything through us. And here's what I want to share, verse 10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God, that's God's truth brought forth, when it causes sorrow, produces a repentance without regret. But he says here that leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Esau had a worldly sorrow. He was sorry he couldn't get the blessing, but he was unwilling to repent. Back to our passage in Genesis. Those who are falling short of the grace of God are sorry about their choices at times, but yet are not repentant. Maybe this describes some of you. You've been brought to tears many times over circumstances in your life, but yet you've not been brought to repentance over personal sin. This is an evidence you want nothing to do with the Lord and his promises. End of verse 34 of our passage in chapter 25. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's a commentary on the whole thing that just happened. Thus Esau despised. The word despise means think lightly of or not care about. When you despise something, you think lightly of it. You don't care about it. Proverbs 14:2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. Thinks lightly of him. Friend, if you think lightly of the things of God, if the realities of this physical world are more in your heart, maybe this describes you. Esau despised the right of the firstborn, which was tied to the promise. He didn't care about it. He didn't care. This was an evidence that he was a godless man on the way to hell. He's a man who grew up in a Christian home, who knew the promises, who had a godly grandpa, parents who knew the Lord. I believe he understood the promises. And yet he found no room in his heart for repentance, acknowledgement of personal sin. Where do you stand today? Two boys, grown up in a Christian home, grandpa around for 15 years, exemplifying faith. Two men now beginning to live out their spiritual destinies. Yet one of them, as evidenced by what seems to be a small choice, doesn't know the Lord. One of them is falling short and would fall short of salvation. It's a warning to the Israelites of that day. Don't be like Esau. Don't be like Esau. It's a warning to us, those who identify with the Lord. It's a warning to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Do the simple, mundane, daily choices of your life reveal where your heart is towards the Lord? Yes, they do. Friend, if you don't know the Lord, you're like Esau. You're going about this world thinking of the temporal, his word, his people. The things of Christ are not in your mind. Praying, walking with him on a daily basis is not in your mind. It's the simple things of life all day long. It's an evidence that maybe you have not experienced his grace. Yet grace is just that. It's favor towards you, which you don't deserve. You don't deserve it. You're in your sins, and God is gracious. He sent his son Jesus. You didn't choose him to do that. He chose for him to do that. And he came and he died for our sins and he bore our sins in his body on the cross and he rose from the dead. And if you're willing to humbly acknowledge your sin and turn to Jesus, the Savior of the world, he'll save you. When all is said and done, brothers and sisters, for us, what will the time that we spend on earth bring forth? If it was for God's kingdom and his righteousness by faith, then there is eternal reward. If it's for stuff that doesn't matter, then there's loss. Brothers and sisters, we can also get caught up in instant gratification, living for the things of the physical rather than the true blessings of God, and we will be disciplined. When we trade our time for money or fame or temporal pleasure, we will reap the consequences in this life. Don't do it. Seek first his kingdom. Lastly, are you concerned about people around you falling short of the grace of God? I'm not talking about making judgments on hearts. I'm talking about seeing lives that don't appear to be that which would know the Lord and being concerned about them and coming alongside them that they might truly understand and know where they stand with the Lord. And if they don't know him, be saved. We have a gracious God who is unwilling for any to perish, but desires all to come to repentance.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. You know, Greg, Esau's frivolous sale of his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup seems almost anecdotal because of the brevity of the passage, but there's much more going on here, isn't there?
Indeed, Dave, and while the broader principles manifested by Esau are to be found in the Old Testament, we've seen God provide specific details regarding this very incident in the New Testament. Friend, do not fall short of the grace of God. As we've seen from the New Testament passages, this incident between Jacob and Esau has broad implications towards those who fall short of the grace of God and those who receive God's grace through Jesus Christ. Now, this application could be lost on us without diligent study of God's Word, and we at Equipping the Saints are here to facilitate that study so that non-believers would come to faith, that they would not fall short of the grace of God, and that we who know Christ would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.